above. So if you're age 60 and above, we're going to do a progressive dinner and at Miss Terry's house, Brother Chad and Angela's house, and in our house. And so we're going to talk about that after the service. So we better get into the preaching. Take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs chapter number 29. Read one verse here and then preach for a little while on this verse. Proverbs chapter 29. I honestly believe that Proverbs is the key to the whole Bible. I believe everything in it connects to the what was before it and what's after it. And so I think God gave Solomon the insight to help us in any area of our life. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18 probably is a familiar verse if you've been in our church any time at all. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I looked up perfect vision. We know that perfect vision is 20/20. I don't know why they call it that, so I looked it up. I just thought that's what they called it. Amen. And it's actually, you can see 20 lines at 20 feet. And if you have perfect vision. I used to have perfect vision until I was about 41. And then sin caught up with me. And now I still got two eyes, but my vision is blurred. And I don't see how I used to see. I'm more familiar with the guy in the Bible who got healed and said, "What do you see?" And he said, "People look like trees." Amen. And so I had to go and I had to submit myself to these things, which I absolutely hate. But I like to see. So I wear them. If you're outside and it's cold and you go inside, they fog up. I'm always wiping my eyes and forgetting to take my glasses off. I've had them 14 years. You'd think you'd get a habit of that. It appears they get dirty for no reason. I mean, not me. And you got to always clean them. And they're just an aggravation. I told you a few weeks ago I tried to get some of them surgeries done and don't qualify for any of them. And so it's a bad deal. So we have sometimes to get our vision checked. We have to get our vision changed. We have to have helps. How many in here are at least my age and older, 54 and older, soon to be 55, but 54 right now and still do not wear glasses? Raise your hand. Two. You are the envy of everybody else. You know, I went to school with kids that wore glasses since I remember them. And how many's done that? How many's had to wear glasses since you've been born? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we feel sorry for you, but we're glad they make glasses. Amen. And so vision is important. You know, if I was going to lose any of my senses, I would give up almost all of my senses other than my vision. I'm getting to where I can't hear as good as I used to. And I don't even think I mind it. Amen? I just don't hear and don't care. Somebody said my mom got a hearing aid. Now, she never wears them because she don't want to wear out the batteries. But she has a hearing aid. And so over Christmas Eve, somehow she put it in water, and that does not work well on a hearing aid. But I'd lose my hearing over my sight. Amen. I would lose my hearing over my smell. I would lose my hearing over my feeling. I would. Taste. Because I like to see. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that is more damaging to your spiritual life than not being able to see what you ought to be able to see. You know, as Christians, we ought to have good vision about spiritual truths. And you'd be surprised how many people sitting in this room today, and I'm not talking about those that's not here today, I'm talking about those sitting in this building today, that have a very distorted view of what Christianity is because of the way they see. See, they're not looking the way God looks. Their vision has been blurred by sin. You see, my eyesight is a result of the condemnation of sin upon the human body. Now, if you have good eyesight, praise the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, had Adam not sinned, I would still have perfect eyesight today. And I would show him, because he would still be alive. And you know, the eyes are so important. And I saw something the other day where man thinks he's made such an improvement upon a picture and such like, and how God, in comparison, is nothing compared to what God made with the eye. But you know, sometimes you need some adjustment on your vision. And I want to preach a little bit about that today in your life and in my life. I'll not be very long, as I've said many times before, but I promise not to be very long today. But I want us to think about our vision. Now, here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. I'll read this to you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Paul writes over and over, don't deceive yourselves. James writes, don't deceive yourselves. The Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The danger is that we think we're seeing good when we're not seeing right. The danger is that our vision is not blurred when it is blurred. Oh, I think I got a verse. Thank you, Lord. I'll just read it real quick. This is added, so this is a minute on the Lord's time. Listen to this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. God said, you don't even realize that you're blind. That's a Laodicean church. That's the time of the church. They were blind and didn't even realize they were blind. And boy, that can happen to us as believers. That's why every day you need to read your Bible. The entrance of thy words giveth light, the Bible says. And so vision comes, perfect vision, 20/20 vision, spiritual vision, I'm talking about, comes from knowing God and having the right view of God. Have you ever read one of these protester signs? Thank God I'm whatever, whatever. And if you ever read the Bible, you would know that God's not in favor of whatever, whatever that they're protesting. Amen? And so we have people that said, well, this is just the way I believe that it ought to be. Well, what does the Bible say? Give us vision from the Scriptures. And so I want to talk just a couple of areas of your life where maybe your vision of that needs to be corrected. All right? Your vision. Your understanding, your enlightenment of God. All right? Number one is in your personal walk with God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And if you don't have a personal vision for your personal spiritual life this day and this coming year, by the end of this coming year, when we stand here next year, Lord willing, you will have made no progress and no improvements. In fact, you will have fallen backwards from where you are today. So we need vision. Well, I don't have vision. You know, I think that's the pastor's job. No, for you, it is vision for yourself. You have to take personal accountability. The Bible says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we have personal walk. What do you have a vision for? Where do you want to be in this coming year with the Lord? I've tried to express to you that there's an importance of reading your Bible. But you know what? I'm not with everybody. I don't know that my wife reads her Bible every day. She should. I don't know that Rachel and Hannah do. They should. Philip and Caleb should. And Sam should. And their wives should. And they should teach their children. But I don't know that they do. I don't call them every day and say, did you read your Bible? Did you read your Bible? Did you read your Bible? No, there is personal responsibility for reading and getting the right vision that we have from God. Where's your vision today? You see, if I want next year, by the time we come to the end of 2020, perfect vision, if by the time we come to the end of 2020, if I want to be better, it will start with an everyday life decision to be more like Christ. So I wrote down some things that maybe we ought to look at. If I'm to be better Christian today, or at the end of the year, next year, than I am this year, then there's some things that I've got to do. I've got to look at myself, and I've got to see, is my vision right? So I've got some questions. Do you love the Lord? Now I know it's easy to say we love the Lord. Peter, do you love me, Lord? Oh, come on. Come on now, Lord, you know I love you. What a dumb question. Is that right? Well, you know I love you. Well, then do what I tell you to do. Well, now, that's what I said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah. Do you love the Lord today? You say, well, I want to love the Lord. I was telling the Lord this morning, and I try not to lie to the Lord. Have you ever been praying and realized you've been lying to the Lord? You've been deceiving yourself. Your heart's deceitful. And so I was telling the Lord this morning when I was praying over here, I said, Lord, really, I think I say this with all truthfulness of heart. Lord, I really do want to be a servant of God, and I really want to love you, and I really want to serve you. I think I really want to do that. But Lord, I could be deceiving myself and deceiving you, or trying to deceive you. I can't do, but you understand what I'm saying. I want to love the Lord. We're going to talk about that next week, loving the Lord. Do you obey the Lord? See, your vision of obedience and God's truth of obedience may be two different things. I've heard people say, well, Brother Tim, I pray. Did you know you can pray yourself dead and never make it through to heaven? God says if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord won't hear you. There's more to the Christian life than just praying. There's doing. Do you walk in the Spirit? Most Christians don't even know really what that means. I've tried to preach on it, but I'm not sure we even get it. You know, walking in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit of God is in control of the way that I think, the way that I act, and the way that I do. Well, I'll tell you what, it takes discipline to walk in the Spirit. But he says, walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you more like Christ than like yourself? I mean, that ought to be a goal for everybody. We ought to have a vision that I want to be more like Christ than I am today, at the end of next year. I want to be more like Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of humility. Are we more like Christ? You know, ladies and gentlemen, this world is looking and they're wondering, what is so important about being a Christian? Well, we're Christ-like. I was reading it in the book of Acts, either yesterday or today in the Bible. I think it was today. And the Bible says there they called them Christians first at Antioch. Man, what a testimony for that church. You people remind us a lot of like Christ. Are you separating? Oh. Are you separating from sinful practices? The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Gossip, fornication, lust, hate, anger. We talked about anger a couple Wednesdays ago. I didn't realize I was in a hostile group of people in Wednesday night church. Everybody was full of anger. Glad they didn't express it, amen? But we've got anger issues. What about sinful practice? How about your personal life today? Are you separating from sin? I really want to be like Christ. I really want to be more of a Christian. Well, then, you have to take personal responsibility for your life. Now, I can encourage you, and others can encourage you, but you have to do it. You know, here just in a few more days, I've seen the advertisements on weight loss already. I don't know if it's just on my phone or whatever, but it's on weight loss. And I'm going to tell you what, this thing of weight loss is personal. Just because everybody else is doing it don't mean I'm doing it. I'd like to pay $20 and lose 14 pounds in 1 week. Pony up, amen. I pay $20 and gain 14 pounds. Apparently it didn't work well for me. I'll pay $20, just kidding. But you know, they have them advertisements. But you know, if you'll never lose weight till you discipline yourself to do what it is to lose weight. It's personal. Ladies and gentlemen, we have somebody that's big and they lose weight and say, man, I wish I could do what you'd, you know, be like you. Well, do what they did. Well, I ain't going to do that. You know? I don't know if you've noticed, Brother Joe's lost a lot of weight. Man, he's lost a lot of weight. I ain't going to tell you how much, but he's lost a lot of weight because I don't know. I thought, man, I wish I could do that. Joe told me what he was going to do. I said, I ain't doing that. Joe's disciplined. Man, he stays with it. Kept it off. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's personal responsibility for your Christian life. Well, I wish I could pray like so-and-so. Then start praying. Well, I wish I could have read the Bible as much as Brother Nathan did. Then start reading. I mean, that's all it takes is personal. Well, you know, this came on and this happened and this happened and this happened. Yeah, personal responsibility. And then I want to talk a little bit about your family stand before the Lord. See, vision. What is your vision for yourself spiritually? And then what is your vision for your family? Where's your vision for your family? If you have children at home or you have grown children, whatever the case is, there ought to be some vision that you have. I want our family to do this, or I want our family to be involved in this. I'm going to give you something that I believe every family this year in our church and our visitors, you listen to this, you ought to be paying attention here. Listen, I believe all of our families ought to strive, and I'd only say that to Heather because I've just known her a long time, and she wouldn't take offense to it, so don't, like I'm pointing her out, amen. I want our family, I want our church to practice hospitality. I think we lack that. Well, apparently everybody else does too because they never got one amen on it. Hospitality. When was the last time you opened up your home and showed hospitality? Hospitality. Now, the Bible says don't, you know, well, you know what, I'm just not the hospitable kind. Well, that doesn't excuse it. Do it. Your family ought to be hospitable. Amen? Got my Sunday school next week. We're going to start doing something. They're going to help me try to reach a fellow I've been trying to reach. He's got a weakness, and that's having charity shown to him. And he don't know how to respond to charity. And I figured this out this week, and I thought, man, I'm going to lay it on this rascal. I'm going to charity him to death. Amen? Or to Christ one. But hospitable. Well, just show hospitality. I think we're lacking that. I really do. And I know that, well, you know, Brother Tim, times have changed. So, where's hospitality at? We're doing a progressive dinner here sometime in January, the 11th or 10th or somewhere, 11th, I think it is. And so I told Yvette when we kind of thought about all this, I said, man, I'd really like to do something. Sam kind of gave me the idea, and I thought, you know, we need some houses and kind of make this work. And then we're going to do one in February for the 30s, 40s, and 50s group, and we're going to invade some of your homes I haven't told you about yet. And so I thought, you know, we need somebody. And so I asked Miss Terry, I didn't ask Brother Troy. I asked Miss Terry, it's her house, and she would have to get it ready, amen. And so I asked her, I said, hey, could we come? And she said, sure. And then I asked Angela, I said, you talk to Brother Chad about this, and we'll come to your house, and then and come to our house. And I didn't ask Miss Yvette, I just heard it, put it in the bulletin so that we couldn't change it. Just kidding. And so hospitality, but you know what? People are, well, what are they going to think about my house? You know, if I go visiting, this is what people will tell me. Sorry about the way the house looks. You know what I always tell them? I didn't come to visit the house. I've been in houses, my own, where it looks like a tornado hit it. So until it's been worse than mine, I don't have to worry about it. Amen? That ain't like that now. We don't have that much. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, people are, well, you know, this, that. I don't know. I got two options. Don't worry about it or be a better housekeeper. It's your only two options. Amen? I'm just saying, you know, people are, well, you know, Brother Tim, my house isn't as nice as so-and-so's. So what? So what? Well, I don't have all the gadgets and gadgets that somebody else has. So what? Well, you know, it's just an excuse not to show hospitality. Yeah. That's all that it is. Said, well, I tell you what, I just don't like people. Well, glory to God, but don't like them in your house. Hospitality. I mean, you know, our families, even our families today are not hospitable. So I'm going to give you some three things or four things here about your family. Hospitality, and then attend church faithfully. And just make it this year, you know what, I'm just determined I'm going to be in church every time the door's open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm just going to go to church. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, you better stay in church while you got kids, or there'll be a day when you'll wish your kids would have been in church. Somebody amen that. Well, I tell you what, preacher, I just don't know that we need to go that much. Well, you probably need twice as much then. You ought to get some tapes and listen to them. Attend church. Pray daily for your family. Everybody in here has family that needs prayer. Need spiritual prayer, ladies and gentlemen. They're on the battlefield. They're losing the spiritual battle sometimes, and we're not praying for them as we ought. And I'll tell you what, we are bringing spiritual truths to our family. I'm talking about the Bible. Everybody in here ought to be talking about the Bible this year. I mean, you ought to say something about the Bible every day this year. Let's just make it a rule. Put in the church covenant right now that every day everybody has to say something about the Bible in their home. Boy, that'd be good, amen. You know what? That may be in the book. Let me see. Let me see if there isn't a verse that maybe says something like that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Well, I just think maybe that means God wants us the word in his... You know what? Our homes today have so much in them, but they have very little of the word of God. Man, we need the Bible. Man, you read your Bible come Wednesday morning, January 1st. Man, you ought to go in there and say, hey, you know what I read in the Bible? God created everything. Hallelujah. Hey, you know what? For some, that'd be a revelation. Did you know what happened on day so-and-so? All right. You don't think? I'm just going to start going through the church and I'll just ask people what happened on day 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, how important it is to read your Bible. I'm going to pray real quick. Well, I mean, my goodness, if we're Bible believers, we believe in divine creation. We all know when it happened. I mean, we ought to go through there and say, did you realize what Samuel did? Did you realize what David did? Did you realize this, that, and the other? You know why our children are so negative and bombarded by the things of the world? You know why they're so illiterate about Scripture? Because we don't teach it at home. Well, I bring them to church. Well, it's more than bringing them to church. I'm for bringing them to church. But we ought to talk about the Bible. Man, one of the joyous times of my life, my kids still remember this. I had them books of character training, and I used to sit down with my boys at night. Time the girls got there, done wore out. But we sit down every night, we'd read them stories about them Bible characters and Bible character traits and try to instill in them. Well, I believe in talking about the Bible. Amen. Then we ought to have a vision for our church. I'm about done. That really don't mean anything except I thought I'd just help you. Amen. We ought to have a vision for our church to glorify God. Man, everything we do ought to glorify God this year. I hope it did this past year. But man, I want to glorify the Lord, don't you? Man, I want our church to be known to glorify the Lord. I tell you how we can glorify the Lord. You see all these seats up here? These seats could be filled with people that could sing. Well, I tell you what, Brother Andrew must be one humdinger of a song director, choir director. He wasn't even here and they sang good. Amen? I'm telling you. I mean, if you can sing, now if you can't, just pray. You can rejoice. But man, if you can sing our choir, I'll tell you what, a choir make people drawn to the church. People still like a choir. You go out in the community, and I know all this rock and roll and stuff is in our churches today, and not in our church, but in some churches today, and the lights and the fog and all that. And if y'all wouldn't get a fog machine, I'd be okay with it. Wouldn't bother me none at all. But we have a choir, so they may not like it. All in favor of wanting the fog machine. Oh, look at these kids. And we're in, preacher, amen. Dust it up in here. I'm just saying, I mean, man, if you can sing, you ought to be in the choir. If you can say amen while they're singing, you ought to say amen. I mean, you ought to take part in what's going on. Edify the believers. You ought to encourage somebody along this year. You ought to just make it your business. I'm going to be an encouragement to somebody every time I come to church. Instead of sitting there like a knot on a log. Well, I'll tell you what. I know I've been in them attitudes before. Amen. Well, you ought to encourage somebody along. Somebody must might need a word. Even if they don't, they still need one. Encouraging word. I tell you, everybody in our church ought to try to win the lost. I believe everybody in this room. Let me ask you this. Now, I don't want to show of hands because I don't want to. Maybe I ought to embarrass everybody, but I really don't want to. You know what? Probably the majority of people in here is really not giving an effort to win somebody to Christ. I'd say probably really giving it an effort, one. We ought to be soul winners. Amen? We ought to be soul winners. I mean, there's thousands of people around us that need Christ. I'm going to tell you something else. You ought to just be involved in what's going on. You know, people sometimes, and if this is you, and I've probably said this to you, if you've come to me with something like this, I've probably said this to you because this is usually my typical reply. Somebody said, well, Brother Tim, we just fit in the church. You know what I do? I look at how much they attend. I look at how much they participate. Come on now. I didn't want to get negative, but I'm just going to tell you, if you don't attend and you don't participate, you ain't going to fit in. I'm pretty disappointed. Orsland's never sent me one check this year. Yep. I never attended and I never participated. You thought they'd have sent me a check. Walmart didn't. I refuse to use. I'm not getting a W-2 from Walmart from the self-checkouts. They can either wait on me, or I'll go somewhere else. They ain't never sent me a check saying we are glad you're here or glad you're gone, one or the other. None of them. See, ladies and gentlemen, you don't participate. Well, you know what, Brother Tim, Brother Nathan's got the young people, and my kid just don't fit in. Well, how do they react? Man, if they just sit there like a knot on a log, they ain't going to enjoy it. Come on now. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to help. Well, you know what? Our family, when we come to fellowship of the church, all we do is go in the back and sit down. Nobody sits with us. All right, we'll fix that. Sit in the front. Yeah. Well, hey, by the way, let me tell you something. If you're one of these groups that always has set with the same people every time we have fellowship, shame on you. This time when we have fellowship sometime, we're having a round-the-world dinner in March. Oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to divide the church into six groups, and we're going to have food from around the world. Chinese, Asian food, let's put it that way, and it won't sound so bad. I got a couple extra cats running around for those that'll be fixing that. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll have southern food. We'll have all kinds of food. Amen. You'll have to be responsible for bringing. But you know what? During that fellowship time, you know what y'all do? Y'all sit with somebody else. Well, I always sit with Derek. All right, I ain't sitting with Derek anymore. I'm going to sit with Brother Matt. Well, I'm going to sit with Brother Matt. I'm going to sit with Brother Brian. You know what? It's hospitality. Well, you know what, Brother Tim? If I didn't sit with him, they'd feel awful bad. Probably not. I want to tell you something else about our church. We are to have a vision for our church that we're leaving a heritage for those that are coming after us. Bless God, when I leave here, I want the pulpit to be filled with the truth. So the next guy that comes along, he won't have to wonder, what can I preach? Just preach whatever you want, brother. They like it or lump it. How many likes lumps in their taters? How many don't like lumps in their taters? Great. See? I guarantee we show taters, serve taters down there. Somebody's going to get them, somebody's not. I just like taters, amen. Mashed potatoes, fried potatoes, raw potatoes. I can eat raw potatoes just like I can mashed. Don't like instant, but I've ate them before. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we just got these no vision. Just change yourself. Change yourself. Well, I wish I was more outspoken like so-and-so. Well, just change yourself. Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Father, Lord, if we don't have a vision for ourselves, and if we don't have a vision for our family, if we don't have a vision for our church, God, we're going to die. We're going to die personally. We're going to die as a family and church. We're going to die as a church. Our relationship with the church is going to die. And Lord, sadly to say, over this past year, we've watched some folks that have lost their vision for themselves, for their family, and for the church. And Lord, it breaks our heart. Lord, we pray that that will not happen this year. We pray that each one in here, Lord, will take a vision for themselves and their family and their church and make a difference. In Christ's name, amen. All right.